Welcome to the Dog Pound Daily Podcast that is now officially on iTunes. Woo-hoo. I am Stephen Kubica. I am joined, as always, by Andrew Seip on a blistering day in both Cleveland, where I am, and Louisville, where you are.
Yeah.
Am I saying Louisville correctly?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I haven't had any locals correct me yet, so I guess you got to keep the tongue on the roof of your mouth and say Louisville.
Yes, joining us from Louisville is Andrew Seip.
Everyone's got mush mouth.
It is very humid in both of our locations, so we want to have some fun and go through the 2017 Browns schedule.
Nothing what better could on be a more hot, fun? Sweaty day than talking about the schedule. What is it? What are we? How many months out are we? Not 4 months out? Here we go.
It's less than four now.
That's true.
It's about 3 and 3 weeks.
It's like a week. A week under 4 months.
I mean, what's training camps in 2 months? That's plenty of time.
It flies by.
We want to go through
it?
The schedule because it's a bit of a slow news cycle because it's May.
Yeah. I mean, there's obviously stories that happen, but like the Caleb Brantley thing was kind of a big deal, actually. Turns out to be a dismissed of all charges, but that we'll save that for another podcast.
Yeah, because we want to maybe wait a bit to see what comes out on that.
Yeah, he may not
if anything comes out. Exactly. Wrote about that earlier, but we will jump into the schedule. Because I'm excited. I'm looking at maybe 12-4. We'll see how it goes.
Oh, yeah.
We'll see if I get to that point. So let's start week one at home.
I think we could all come to a conclusion about this one.
Against the Pittsburgh Steelers, the most heated rival of all time for the Cleveland Browns. Myles Garrett said he wants to sack Ben Roethlisberger. Andrew,
loss.
Who's winning this game?
The Browns will be losing this game.
A loss.
I mean, they're not going to be able to handle Big Ben and Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell. They're too good of a team, especially, I mean, coming out of the gate, they're going to be game planning against the Browns. It'll be interesting to see how they play, especially with the new defense, especially seeing what Greg Williams can do on defense. I think it'll be a lot closer than in years past, but until we really get a feel for the preseason, I think right now it's pretty easy to say that this is going to be an L on the first a loss on another Browns home opener.
As much as it pains me, I'm going to have to agree with you.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about the Browns schedule,
I mean, we're still going to root for them. Yeah. It's just,
trust me, they went 1-15 last year, and every week I thought they were going to win. So that more hope than reality, but who knows?
Yeah, and that's what I want to do, and you know, do this now and then do it again later, because maybe they come out firing in training camp and preseason, but now I'm also going to go with an L.
All right, so we're at 0-1 to start. Good start. Bad start.
Week two, another 1 p.m. divisional game at the Baltimore Ravens. Andrew, who is winning this game? Is it the Brownies?
You know, the Ravens, I don't think they really addressed anything really on offense. I think who's their running back?
Justin Forsett?
Yeah, he was retired, and he hasn't been on the team for a couple years. I think their offense is a little suspect. I think they added some very, very nice defensive pieces in the draft, but I think they still lack at the wide receiver position as well as the running back position. So I think the Browns actually, since this game is in Baltimore, I am going to have to give the edge to the Ravens just based on the fact on what I saw last year versus this year and until we really see anything on the field, it's tough to say, but I can't go against Joe Flacco at home against the Browns.
So I looked up their roster. Looks like their running backs are former Browns great Terrence West.
Oh, boy.
My fantasy hero, Danny Woodhead.
Oh, that's a good pick, actually. That's
and
a good
Kenneth,
sign.
They just got Kenneth Dixon out of Louisiana Tech, and they got a few rookies on there. But I, you know, will probably have Danny Woodhead going in this game. As much as it pains me, on the road, rebuilding team, I'm going to go with an L for the Browns. Just on the road, first road game, it's going to be a bit tough.
Yeah, I mean, you never know how
and
a team's
you just have to look
react,
at the history of their divisional play.
Baltimore's just a tough place to play, too. I mean, those fans, I mean, they're as good as Browns fans in terms of showing up and showing support for their team. So it's definitely a tough place to play, and coming off that week one loss, I think it gives the Browns an opportunity to rebound. But it all depends on how good that defense really, or how much more improved that defense really is.
Week 3 against Andrew Luck and the Indianapolis Colts in Indy. I'm going to start this off by saying Browns win.
Yeah, I'm actually going
to think the Colts are extremely, they're not even overrated, but it's when you play them, you're like, oh, the Colts are good, right?
Well, do you know why people think they're good? Because they have a good quarterback. That's like, that's the myth that, I mean, Gregson really screwed that team. He had a golden ticket in Andrew Luck and really botched the opportunity to add a lot of playmakers around him and really give themselves a chance for a Super Bowl run. Andrew Luck's had a lot of injuries the last few years. As long as their offensive line can keep them upright, I think they are a playoff team for sure. But, I mean, I think their defense is a little suspect. They have a lot of ex-Browns on that defense, which doesn't – Barkevious Mingo, Jabal Sheard, I believe they signed somebody else, too, off the Browns. But either way, I don't think the additions that they made are really good enough to have them compete. I think this is where the Browns get their first win.
Me too. So we're both 1-2 right now. That's the kind of back and forth you want on between two people on a podcast.
Especially,
you want complete agreeance. You never want any any arguments.
Nope.
It's the opposite of first take.
You're not going to find that here. You want Stephen A. You want Stephen A. and whatever other guys on there now.
Max Kellerman, whoever they get to fill in. Andrew, you are my good friend, but I'm telling you the Mario Chalmers.
Lock him in a closet with no basketball objects of any kind.
Well, see, that's tricky because you're doing an impression of an impression
yeah,
of Stephen
almost
A. Smith.
Like
that's an inception of impressions.
Yep.
Moving on, Week 4 at home against the Bengals.
This is interesting because the Bengals, I think, did a really good job in the draft of adding some weapons that they lost last year with Marvin Jones and Mohamed Sanu. I think Giovanni Bernard tore his ACL at the end of the year, so I'm not sure if he's going to be able to come back in time for even the start of the regular season, but he's not necessarily the bell cow back anyway. Jeremy Hill's had very inconsistent numbers over the course of his career thus far. I think Joe Mixon, batter assault charges aside, provides a really good impact to that running game. It'll be interesting to see if John Ross stays healthy, but when you've got A.J. Green on the field, Joe Hayden has locked down A.J. Green certain times in his career. So I think the Browns keep this game close, and they get the W here at home, their first home victory.
I have to admit, I just did a bad thing where I went down the schedule, and in my head I said, oh, 4-2. This is a common problem both of us have. I go, oh, we got Cincy followed by the next two games coming up.
We got it. You know, we
got easy W's.
Yeah, we got to beat the Texans. You
so,
know.
Geez. I'm going to have to go loss again in the Cincy game.
Just
to stay grounded.
Just stay grounded. Yeah. Who knows? I'm going to go through the schedule game and forget how many wins I'm tallying and end up saying, like,
it's all 11 right, so and what 5. Was I at? 13? All right. So I'm going to go in the Week 5 at 1-3, but I'm going to move up to 2-3 because the Browns are taking on the likely Josh McCown-led New York Jets who are openly tanking.
Unless Jamal Adams can play quarterback for that team, I think the Browns are going to have hopefully a handed victory here.
How bad would it be if Josh McCown came back and won this game for the Jets in Cleveland?
Honestly, I wouldn't put it past them because last year we thought the Jets was kind of our last gasp.
Yeah, you're right.
And they came out and played really flat. So, and they even played against Ryan Fitzpatrick, who threw more interceptions than God probably. So, I think Josh McCown, you know, maybe he wants to take something out on his old team. I think Eric Decker is a candidate likely to get cut during training camp just based on him probably wanting to go play for a contender or not be a part of a rebuilding team. I think the Browns have to win this game just to even prove that they're in the next step of the rebuilding process.
All right, so you are currently sitting at 3-2 on a
three-game win streak, baby. But they're not winning in the division, which is that's the key. That's the key.
All right. Well, I'm going to go with a W as well because the Jets are horrible.
So I'm at 3-2.
And so I'm at 2-3. You're at 3-2.
Hey, it's a good start.
Oh, geez. Week 6 on the road at Houston. Andrew, are you going with a 4-game win streak?
Do you think Deshaun Watson is the day 1 starter?
Yes.
Based on the Texans defense and probably their leniency on Lamar Miller, I think the Browns will end up losing this game.
Ooh.
I think they're going to want to win, and they're going to, obviously, I mean, every team wants to win, but I think there's a lot of at least front office executives that are hoping for a win. So, and the fact that Houston hopefully will be like 0-5 by that point. So,
yeah.
I mean, I hope the obviously I hope the Browns beat the Texans because I want the Texans to have a terrible draft pick. But I think the Texans will win this game at home. The Browns will probably have really no answer on offense for that vaunting defense.
The only way I would pick the Browns to win is if Brock Osweiler was starting.
Brock Osweiler was starting for the Browns.
I think that'd be awesome. And he could turn up to the owner's box and get the DX sign.
Oh, I thought you meant starting for Houston.
No, for the Browns, yeah.
Oh. I think the only way they win is if
Brock
Osweiler.
I also agree the only way
they
beat the Texans is if Osweiler was starting for them.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with a loss as well. The Texans defense is just too good. And with competent quarterback play, they're going to be too good.
You know, they did lose Bouye, though. And Brian Cushing's no longer there. I'm trying to think who they draft. I mean, they drafted Deshaun Watson. Who they take in the second round? Do we know? I don't care.
They have
their defense is still good.
My hero Braxton Miller,
especially J.J. Watt / Jadeveon Clowney on the other side coming off the edge. It's either Joe Thomas or whatever right tackle we decide to throw out there. So I think they're going to have a field day with getting to the quarterback.
All right, so you're at 3-3 right now. Mm-hmm. I'm at 2-4.
Hey, I mean, that's all you can ask for going through halfway through this or six games into the season. I mean, you can stay 500 until the home stretch and set yourself up at least to not be out of contention. Like through six games like we normally are. I mean, that's all you can really
ask
for.
Every year. All right, week 7 at home, Marcus Mariota and the Tennessee Titans. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to go with a loss.
Yeah, Titans are good.
That's another tough AFC South opponent.
Yeah, Titans are really good. I mean, they were a team last year. I'll give a shout out to Derek Briner, who told me that there's not a single team in the NFL that'll be better than the Tennessee Titans last year. I went through so many teams that I said would be worse than Tennessee, and it turned out to be true. Mariota's the real deal. That defense is that defense is getting better and better. And who did they draft? They drafted Adoree Jackson and someone else this year too, who's pretty darn good. So it's going to be a good year for Tennessee. I think Tennessee is one of those teams that's really going to take the jump, kind of like similar to what the Oakland Raiders did this year. Hopefully they live up.
They
to
may
the
have
bill.
Been in the playoffs last year if Mariota didn't get hurt.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see if he is able to come back fully healthy for training camp. I'm not sure what the updates are on him.
All right, so you are at 3-4. I am at a paltry 2-5. And week 8, before the bye week, the Browns are in London against the Minnesota Vikings at 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So
that's great.
We'll have to get up for that.
At least I can get my misery out early in the morning and my fantasy team. I can follow my fantasy team.
I think
the
key is to just the night before, just stay up watching college football and watch all the West Coast games. You know, do a little Keith Stone action, have, you know, some Keystone, maybe throw some Bush in there, Bush Light, whichever catches your fancy. And then at 9:30, the Browns are
out. I thought you were
talking
a different Bush. I was like, whatever floats your boat, man.
We're either going to be hanging out with MLB pitcher Matt Bush or we're going to be drinking Bush Light.
Or both. Or Kyle
Andrew,
Bush.
If
is
you
Kyle
interrupt
Bush,
me one more time.
Is Kyle Bush going to be there?
He's kind of a jerk.
George Bush?
I am. Yeah.
Jeb Bush?
That'd be spelled differently. Anyway, Browns, Vikings, I don't even know because
they're going to lose.
This is a tricky one. No. The Vikings.
I mean, I think Sam Bradford, while I'm a huge anti-Sam Bradford person, I think he's the most overpaid, terrible quarterback ever.
Well, wasn't he the last remnant of no rookie salary cap?
Yeah. He got paid $60 million and then got hurt, which is, I mean, you can't really plan for that. But then that whole thing with Carson Wentz when they drafted him and he was complaining about the fact that he made $20 million and was upset that they drafted a possible quarterback for the future. Like he was in the bottom third of the league for the longest time in statistics. But with that Minnesota team last year, I think with Adam Thielen and who did they draft? They drafted, or they got Dalvin Cook this year too. So I think that offense is going to be a little bit more revamped. It'll be interesting to see how the Browns run game turns out, but I think the Vikings still have a pretty solid defense and the ability to control the game with Sam Bradford as long as he limits his turnovers. So I'm going to take the Vikings in this one.
So you're going into the bye week at 3-5?
Yep.
I am also going into the bye week at 3-5 with a Browns win across the Atlantic. I think they are going to show up. Cody Kessler is finally going to be settled in. They're going to take advantage of their fun trip in London. Everything is going to click. They're going to win.
This is a movie?
Go into the bye week 3-5, which isn't great, but for this team, what's that, a 300% improvement over last year? is my math correct?
Yeah, I guess.
Well, they were 0-8 through 8 games last year, so.
Oh, they were 0-14 at 1.2.
Oh, geez, I keep forgetting. All right, so we're at the bye week.
That's this last
it's
season
exactly
is
the middle
gonna,
of the season.
Last season's just going to be blacked out. Like, if they ever make it to the playoffs, they're going to be like, "Remember 2016?" Be like, "No, don't
That's
remember
like
that
people
season
are like,
at
"Hey,
all.
How was your freshman year of college?" You go, "My what?
I don't even know."
Oh, I was just I started as a sophomore, and then that whole year was just bad.
Ziggy's and Taco Bell. That was freshman.
It was
year.
A 1-15 kind of year.
Yeah.
But at the bye week, I would like to give a shout out to our first subscriber and my roommate in crime, Brandon Onda, who is a great man. He's an unbelievable guy. And he listens and demanded a shout out. Didn't really ask.
I feel like it's a little more disingenuous now that we, I feel bad for not calling him out the first time. That was more.
Oh, I don't really care, you know. It really doesn't matter to me either way. I just figured out, you know, I'm a man of the people.
You just like to pander to the audience.
Yeah. I go, "Oh, you listen?" It's like on the Indians games, like, "All right, this is 4 weeks late, but we're saying hi to Barbara in Twinsburg.
Barbara's 93rd birthday today. She actually turned 93 back in February, but we're going to do it today."
And it's like a game in
game.
Oakland. It's like, "Barbara's probably asleep, but I don't care."
West Coast game.
Rick Manning.
16-inning West Coast game.
Now that the Brandon tribute is out of the way, we can finally get back to Browns football in week 10 on the road in my favorite city, Detroit, Michigan. Man, what a place. Some great memories up there. Totally kidding. Hate the place. Browns are going to lose. Andrew, what is your...
I like Matt Stafford a lot. I think there's a lot of people that kind of discredit Matt Stafford as a quarterback, but I mean, last year he had quietly one of the best seasons as a pro. I think the Lions are a very, very good team, and you would think that losing Calvin Johnson would hurt them, but signing Marvin Jones, having Anquan Boldin last year really helped. Who did they draft this year? Do you remember?
You know what? I feel like I should just pull up the first round results.
I feel like you should, but... that defense, they've got to get some secondary help. They may have addressed that in the draft, but they've got to get somebody in that secondary to help out Stafford. I feel like they've been climbing back in every single game, and he's putting up solid numbers, but that defense has just got to be able to hold some people. So I think the Browns keep it close, but at home, Stafford's pretty money in the fourth quarter, so I got to go with Detroit.
Yeah, they're a level up from the Browns, as the Browns are a team who will compete with you, you know, like through three quarters, but they can't close. The Lions have the experience of Stafford, and just having him, I mean, on the field, it's a huge benefit. Even if he's struggling, which I don't think he will be, like you said, he had one of the better years. I think people hate on him because of the money he makes. I saw a lot of chatter, at least through like the Lions site on FanSided that I was reading. It was that, oh, he should restructure his contract. Why should he restructure it? He's getting his market value. You shouldn't have to restructure your contract because a team signed you to it.
Yeah, I saw a lot of chatter even before last year that, like, they should get rid of Stafford. Or, like, I have a couple customers and a couple people I know that are Lions fans, and, I mean, they want to get rid of Stafford. And I'm like, do you look at the Browns and the fact that we haven't had a quarterback forever? Like, I'll take Matt Stafford any day of the week over any quarterback we have on the roster or any quarterback we've had in the last 25 years.
People think
years.
Quarterbacks are like, just they you just to, go get one.
Well, if they have to be Tom Brady, they have to be Aaron Rodgers. Like, you realize if Matt Stafford had a solid defense, they probably would be in contention for a Super Bowl. Yeah, he does throw. He tends to get that Tony Romo kind of rap because he throws a lot of fourth quarter interceptions that when he doesn't come back and win the game, I think that's where people start to sour on him a little bit, but man, that guy can sling it.
He's a great quarterback, and we know, I think being in Cleveland, you know, quarterbacks aren't, you know, good quarterbacks don't come around often or ever here. Yeah. But yeah, getting rid of him, it's just always, oh, we'll get rid of him and just draft someone. Oh, yeah. I mean, if it was that easy, every team would have a top quarterback. That's why colleges give quarterbacks like scholarships when they're like 12.
Yeah. Or they pay him. By the way, did you see Mitch's guaranteed money?
Was it $29 million?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Is that a lot?
Yeah, he could be. That's like $29 million McChickens, I think.
I think it's a little pricier now with the little few. I wouldn't know. I haven't got one in about a week. So,
couple hours.
Eating one now. So we're at 3-6, the both of us, moving on to week 11, which looks like a good one, the annual Browns-Jacksonville game in Cleveland, at which point right now there's 6,000 tickets available on StubHub for $19. It's the lowest price, according to the schedule I have up. So it's a big, hot ticket. I'm going to say Browns win. Andrew, what are you saying?
No, they're going to lose.
Oh, by... no.
Yeah.
I just have. Am I at a point where I have more wins than you?
Yeah, I think so. With Jaguars adding Fournette, I mean, that they have Jalen Ramsey on that defense. There's a lot of guys, too, that they signed throughout a couple years that are hopefully going to be able to become a cohesive unit and actually play well, as long as Bortles. I mean, he's really the key to everything. It depends on if he's throwing as many interceptions as he typically does or how the Browns defense is able to create turnovers. I think the Browns defense as a whole last year just did a terrible job at creating turnovers. And that's a huge part of not only winning games, but being able to come back from maybe a 7-0 deficit or a 14 point deficit that we faced so many times throughout last year. They just weren't able to have any sort of turnover to gain momentum back in these games. So if the Browns are able to create turnovers, then I say it's a close game. But I think with Fournette back there and a pretty good defense, Bortles really won't be forced to have to do too much. So I say Jags win.
All right. So you are at
3-6,
3-7,
seven. Yeah.
And I am at 4-6. Wow. How things get crazy here with the Heat. Four and six. I mean, if they win out, they're in the playoffs, right?
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. You could, could be at 9-7 before you know it.
All right. Well, I'm shooting right to 4-7 because the Browns the next week are in Cincinnati, a place where, I mean, they've pulled off some fun wins, but the losses are far more. I don't know. Divisional games for the Browns. Their division is one of the best in football, obviously. I don't see them going to Cincinnati late in the season. And, I mean, they'll put up a fight, but it's there.
Yeah.
When you're underdogs in every game, you have to like almost find a flaw in the other team to predict why the Browns would win.
Yeah, and obviously it's tough to do this without seeing how the previous games are going. You know, last year, at least through the like weeks 3-6, there was at least a point where they were playing competitive football, and then as we got towards the end of the schedule, I mean, they were just getting blown out by Buffalo.
You didn't think
Cincinnati,
they were
going to
beat the Cowboys?
Cowboys, Patriots. I mean, it was one team after another just steamrolling the Browns. It became so painful to watch. But I got to agree with you here. I think the Bengals will stand their ground at home and beat the Browns. And again, too, you never know, because remember last year we ran into the Chargers in week 15, and I think the Chargers on paper are a much better team than the Browns. But it was a Christmas Eve game. Like in the cold in Cleveland, like on the West Coast, like they didn't want to be there, you know? So I think that gave the Browns a real good edge to win that game. So hopefully there's a couple teams in that same situation this year that give the Browns some confidence by almost rolling over for a couple victories.
Well, Andrew, you sly dog, you know who the Browns are playing in the next game? They're playing the now Los Angeles
San
Chargers.
Diego
Segway Master Andrew. Okay, you know about the Chargers? Oh, are you referring to the Los Angeles Chargers? The week 13
right.
opponent, the only game past 1 o'clock all season. So they're playing in the tiny soccer stadium in Los Angeles. Browns, Chargers. Gonna have to go with the Chargers.
Yeah.
Especially, it's the rubber mat, or not the rubber match, the you know revenge game for the Chargers who were embarrassed last year. And it will be a trivia question answer. In Cleveland sports trivia.
Definitely. I don't know. Anthony Lynn is the new coach there coming over from Buffalo. That was also an interesting scenario. You know, I heard a lot of rumors starting out in the coaching search that Anthony Lynn was almost the front runner for that Buffalo job. And that fell through. He ends up going to L.A., ends up calling him the San Diego Chargers in his opening interview after they've already been moved. But I probably would have done the same thing. So they drafted Mike Williams. They still have Phillip Rivers. Keenan Allen hasn't been healthy for the last 2 years. Melvin Gordon's a solid back. Their defense is still very shaky. You know, I really don't think they have too much on the defensive end that is something to game plan for other than Melvin Ingram. But I think the Browns will keep this game close, but I think Phillip Rivers is just too much to handle. He's one of the best quarterbacks in this era, almost kind of an unsung hero when he's compared to Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers. He's just one of those guys that is similar to Eli Manning, but without the Super Bowls, you know. Just he's a quarterback that there are times where he can single-handedly win you a game, but there's a lot of times, too, where he's part of the reason you're losing. So I think the Browns fall in L.A., but it's a close game.
So you are at 3-9. I'm at 4-8, setting up for a fun Week 14 matchup against the Green Bay Packers in Cleveland.
Oh,
okay. I'm not sure if the Browns can beat the Packers, who will likely be in the midst of the playoff hunt. I feel like that Packers game is similar to like this year against the Patriots, or 2016 against the Patriots, where you're like, maybe Tom Brady will throw four interceptions.
You never know, though. Like, the Packers are so, like, 1 week they'll be like, they'll put up 48 points and 500 yards on offense, but then there's other weeks where if you can somehow contain Aaron Rodgers. Did they pick up somebody in free agency? I know they lost Eddie Lacy, but I'm just trying to think who their running back is. Their receivers, Jordy Nelson, Davante Adams, are very solid. They picked up Martellus Bennett. So that's going to be a lot to handle with the Browns, especially on defense. Offensively, I think they might be able to move the ball a little bit. But again, I'm not going to bet against Aaron Rodgers, especially against the Browns. So going to be another L bringing the loss column to double digits, I'm afraid.
Yeah, it's a December game against the Packers, who the weather won't affect them. And it's one of the better teams in football.
The weather won't affect them. They're used to playing in Lambeau. This will be like playing in summertime for them.
Yeah, I wish I could say one day I hope that I can go through the schedule like this and be like, huh, the Packers win. All right, so I'm 4-9. This is getting more fun as we go on, and you're 3-10. Week 15,
3-10, baby.
At home against Joe Flacco and the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, I think this is
L or W.
I think this is the one where they come out, and they've been really close with the Ravens over the past few years. I think you were at my apartment when they blocked that freaking field goal and took it back. Oh, my God. When they blocked the field goal, took it back for a touchdown to win.
That was crazy.
Unbelievable ending. I think the Browns pull this one out. It's going to be at that point of the year where I think the Ravens will be out of contention, or at least kind of on that fringe of not really making it. And I think the Browns put that nail in the coffin. I think they'll still be fight. Hugh Jackson was able to rally that team in the last couple games of last year, even when they were winless. So I think, especially at home against the Ravens, I think this is a game that the Browns can squeak out.
I'm going to say a loss for the Brownies, which drops us both to 4-10. I think the Ravens will be in contention. And even if they're not, I mean, I think there's too much talent. And I do agree that the Browns are going to be playing hard. I think Hugh Jackson's a coach, like you said, they're not going to be like years past.
And I think
Pat Shermer is just kind of casually shrugging on the sidelines.
Yeah, I think, too, you've got guys on the roster like Jason McCourty, the new added veteran. I think he brings kind of that, I wouldn't say a winning mentality, but someone who's not going to let...
professional mentality.
Yeah, like especially Myles Garrett. He's not going to quit. Jabril Peppers, that guy's not going to quit. I mean, they've got guys.
That's
on the
good
roster
thing about young guys too. They're going to play hard every game because they're don't know any better.
Exactly. I mean, they don't know any better. I mean, they haven't been through the rigorous. This will be the end of their first season, so it'll be interesting to see when they hit their rookie wall, But and it may be during this time. We could be at the point where we're getting blown out every game. But I think that with how they competed last year at Week 15, I think the Browns will be able to get a victory in their last home game of 2017.
All right, so we are both at 4-10, but I'm not done with the W's for the Browns. Christmas Eve in Chicago, Browns are going to pick up a win because the Bears are going to panic halfway through the season, bench Mike Glennon, bring in Mitch Trubisky, a favorite here on the show. But I think it's going to be a struggle for him. Not anything about him, just it's not a very good team. And he's going to be rushed onto the field before he's ready. And that organization is in disarray. They might fire their coach, John Fox. Yeah.
And that was
real communication. All the experience you can get as a rookie is good, but I think the Browns can win that one on the road in what may be even a more, crazy year for the Bears than it will be for the Browns.
Yeah, I remember watching the draft at Willoughby Brewing Company, and when that Mitch pick happened, it was great. I'm really happy for him. I think it's great that a franchise showed that they really wanted Mitch and that they had to go up to get him, and they showed that they believe he's the quarterback of the future. The only problem that I see is that it is with the Chicago Bears, who are almost turning into a pseudo Cleveland Browns, if not turning into the Cleveland Browns of the past, where John Fox is in the last year of his contract, I believe, or very close to being fired. Like you said, the GM almost smells like a desperate play to ownership to keep his job. Why are you going to fire us when we've got this new quarterback with all this upside that, he could turn out to be great. So I hope it's not the case, but I really think that pick turned into, and not to say Mitch isn't worthy of the number two pick, but with Chicago, it almost seems like a desperation play. And
he didn't have
roster,
the best value at that pick.
No, that desperate, or the team overall is just terrible. They don't have anything. I mean, they have a couple good young running backs. They lost Alshon Jeffrey. They have Kevin White, who hasn't been able to stay healthy since being drafted out of West Virginia. Their defense is another story. They're just not a good football team. And even if they're smart, they don't play Mitch at all this year. They shouldn't.
Oh, I agree. It's always you shouldn't, but the bad teams do.
I know, and that's
the thing. Like, you look at good teams, they're like, we're not playing this guy, but bad teams will be like, well, let's see what he's got.
Even DeShone Kizer, I'm pushing for him
to start
week
playing
one
this year.
He's definitely going to play this year, but how many times have we seen rookie quarterbacks get drafted? Blake Bortles, Derek Carr. I mean, these guys come into camp and they're like, "Oh, we're not going to rush him. We're not going to play him right away. We're only going to play him when he's ready." And then training camp progresses, you see kind of the middling play of the front runner, and then by preseason's end, you've got a rookie starting quarterback already. So coaches can say that they're not going to play him in year one until they're blue in the face, but when push comes to shove, they're probably going to play Mitch a lot, I would say sooner rather than later. So
are you going with a Browns win in this game?
Yeah, I think the Browns will go into Chicago and win.
5-10.
DeShone Kizer versus Mitch Trubisky, week 16. It's going to be crazy. Oh,
I believe it. Week 17 is New Year's Eve, and it is the annual Browns-Steelers saddest game on turf. I was at the one this past year in which the Browns found a new way to lose every drive.
Call screen pass on the goal line.
I'm going to go with Pittsburgh in this. I want to say, oh, the Browns, because it'll be like last year when the Pittsburgh season is over, whatever, where they're already in the playoffs. But they have to prove that they can beat Pittsburgh on the road. Once to have any faith, it's predicting it is almost just wishful thinking.
Yeah, they're not going to win. So, I mean, Pittsburgh. I can't bet. I hate Pittsburgh, but they're just a good. I mean, they have the top like three top flight players at skill positions that like no one in the league can stop them, let alone the Browns defense. So, I mean, if they
they're
can somehow stop the run,
yeah.
You've got Antonio Brown. If you can somehow stop the pass, you got to deal with Le'Veon Bell. So. They're an elite offense, and their defense can afford to slack because their offense can put up so many points in a hurry.
So the Browns end the season before 2018 rolls in at 5-11.
Mm-hmm. That was
consensus
my prediction at Dropdown Daily.
Consensus pick. I know Tom Moore, the co-expert at the site, said 3-13. So we're probably looking at a 3 to 5 win range this year in terms
of. It could be. I mean, and it depends, too. I mean, a lot 10. Of these games. Last year, there were a lot of 50-50 games, you know? I mean, there was that Washington game that ball bounces the other way. Momentum shifts a little bit. And again, I think it really all comes down to how well this Browns defense is going to be able to force turnovers, especially when you're I wouldn't say anemic on offense, but your wide receiving
inexperienced.
Core. Inexperienced. Yeah, they really don't have too much at the wide receiving core as of right now. I think that'll change after roster cuts, but I think their offensive line is obviously improved. The running game should be a little bit better. They should focus a little bit more on the run to take the pressure off the quarterback and the defense. The defense will definitely be more improved, so it should give them a little bit more of an opportunity to have better field position or even create some turnovers or score points off those turnovers. So I think it'll definitely be better than 1-15. But it just really truly depends on how well they're able to execute in the fourth quarter, because that's where a lot of games are lost.
No, I agree. It's this thing every year. We're like, oh, we could have had this many wins. But the good teams go, oh, yeah, remember when they pulled out that victory like late in the game? And
yeah, I mean,
it's just the difference between a good team and a bad team and a great team.
Exactly. I mean, plain and simple, if they cannot, especially out of Cody Kessler does a good job of not turning the ball over. But the Browns' strategy this year should be quite simple. Run the ball, pass when you have to, don't turn the ball over, and play good defense, because there were so many times last year where they had terrible field position. They're not that good on offense to begin with, and just were not able to get themselves out of any trouble. So the defense has got to step up. They put an emphasis on it in the draft, and I'll be interested to see how it pans out over the preseason.
Oh yeah, we're excited. Preseason hype may lead us to change these predictions. The Browns
don't
win a preseason game.
We're gonna do the preseason schedule game next week. So
intense breakdowns, but I want to wrap it up because we may change our predictions here if we keep going. We are on iTunes now. Very exciting. And I will be sharing the link. We'll be sharing it on Twitter, Facebook, the link to the page on iTunes. You could also search Dog Pound Daily in iTunes to subscribe to us so you can have our new podcast delivered to your handheld device.
Yeah, I mean, share our podcast on Facebook, Twitter, even on iTunes.
Every
send
few
the link
hours,
to your friends.
Share
I mean,
it.
anybody that you think wants to listen to a couple of goons talk about some Browns football. A couple of
even
goobers.
If they don't want to listen to it, send it anyway. And if you get your parents or grandparents a new phone, just subscribe. Seems like a good way to increase our viewership.
It's almost like when Disney Channel commercials. You're like, oh, make sure you ask your parents before you sign up. Like, tell your parents to sign up for Dog Pound.
It's only $5.99 per week.
We're just kidding.
But ours is free, and that's the exciting part about it. And yeah, we'll be sharing it in the post on the site that this is linked in. We'll have the link there, and there'll be plenty of ways to find it.
Yeah, and feel
very excited about that.
Do we have an email or something that people could like write in questions or like? I think we should do some sort of mailbag.
There's an email, but we don't use it.
I think we should do a.
Well, you can just. What I always say is tweet at our site, Dog Pound Daily, at Dog Pound Daily on Twitter. I've tried to do mailbags in the past, Andrew, and let me tell you, it's tough to get coherent responses. But if you do have a question you want to hear on the podcast, tweet at the site. You can hit us up on Facebook. I get some really random Facebook messages on the site page sometimes. I'm not sure how to respond to those. But, yeah, tweet at us on Facebook, message us, post on our page. And we hope to do a lot of these. And on iTunes, like I said, you could subscribe. And we should be having new ones come out every week. So thank you for listening to the Dog Pound Daily Podcast.